Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Bible reading is from Ephesians 4, verse 17, 1175 in the Church Bible, and Sam's going to read that to us. Thank you.
"So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard with your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need."
I'd invite you, please, to pick up your Bible again and turn back to Luke 19 and the first 10 verses of that chapter, page 1053, one of the readings Margaret read to us. And as we turn there, let's bow our heads and seek God's help. Loving Father, whatever our age, whether we're young or old, whether we're single or married, whether we're wealthy or poor, whether things seem to be going well for us at the moment or things are really tough, we thank you that your word is for us. Thank you that you've got important things to say to us. Please open our ears to listen. For Jesus' sake, amen. Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree, the Saviour he wanted to see. And when the Saviour passed that way, he looked up to the tree and said, "Now Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea." Some will know that children's chorus, and you may wonder why I'm quoting it as we come to Luke at the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. I do so because one of the things that the New Testament tells us about the commandments, about God's law, is that God's law is designed to do three things as we look at it. First of all, it is designed to expose our sin. That is, our inherent sinfulness and our actual sins. Secondly, God's law is designed to lead us to Jesus as the Saviour from sin. The Saviour from sin's penalty, the Saviour from sin's power, and eternally the Saviour from sin's presence. And thirdly, the purpose of God's law is to show us what loving our Lord Jesus Christ looks like in practice. What it means for those of us who have been brought out, have been rescued by him, it shows us how we should live. And the story of this little man meeting the Lord Jesus, I think, has a lot to teach us about the eighth commandment. So let me give you the Johnny Prime version of the children's chorus, which I don't want to be proud, but I think more accurately sums up the story. All right? So here you go. Zacchaeus was a very rich man, a cheat, a thief was he. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal, his guilt all men could see. But one day Jesus called to him, a new man Zac became. He said, look, Lord, my wealth is yours. To give is now my aim. Excuse the corny rhyming. But with that story in our minds, and that's my only purpose in doing that, let's look under the eighth commandment under three headings. First of all, sin exposing. Some here have had the experience of their house being burgled, their handbag, their wallet, their phone stolen, their car broken into. And it is a horrible experience when someone violates your private property. Theft is rife. The Home Office estimate that more than 8% of people visiting a big shop are likely to shoplift from it. 8%. In the UK, 500,000 shoplifters cost our nation millions every day. In 1994, which is a while ago, Marks and Spencer spent £20 million on security costs and still lost £30 million through pinched stuff. A documentary featuring a woman who boasted she could make £1,300 a day by shoplifting went straight to the top of the TV ratings. To steal is to take without permission that which rightly belongs to someone else. And this eighth commandment very simply declares that taking something that belongs to someone else is a sin. It's an offence. Not only against the person from whom we've taken it or the organisation from whom we've taken it, but it's a sin and offence against God. Have you ever thought of it? God, the Bible says, is the owner of everything. Psalm 50, verse 12, God says, the world is mine and all that is in it. Everything ultimately belongs to our Creator. We are, as it were, only caretakers of whatever He's entrusted to us. So the principle underlining this commandment is that all property first and foremost belongs to God. You entered the world with nothing. You will leave the world with nothing. And God only gives us temporary possession, temporary stewardship of the things we each own. And that means that when someone steals from someone else, they are in fact taking from God what God has entrusted to that person. Let's think about Zacchaeus, this diminutive tax collector. He was clearly guilty of breaking this commandment. We know that because he's described as a chief tax collector who was wealthy. Tax collectors were notorious in first century Israel for their dishonesty. They collected taxes for the Romans. They each had a quota to reach. But as long as they reached that quota, well, they could collect whatever else they wanted from the people and simply put it in their own pockets. And being a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was probably the head of the local taxation department. So he would have employed others to go around collecting the money. He got that money in, he paid the Romans what they wanted, and then now the rest, it's for me. So he became very wealthy at the expense of others from whom he stole. Now, as we hear that this morning, we might think, well, that's all right. That puts Zacchaeus in the category of kind of those big-time crooks we hear of. You know, the Ronnie Biggs type of character. He was involved in the great train robbery, if you don't know that name. Or perhaps, and it's been, bankers get a bad time at the moment, but, you know, we read in the papers about the fat cat bankers. Or we read about someone who's perpetrated some massive fraud which has taken money from a huge number of people. Actually, don't think like that. Zacchaeus is meant to be an example of the sort of behaviour exposed by this eighth commandment. Behaviour which may well be evident in our lives as well. Stealing includes any way in which I mistreat or misuse anything which belongs to someone else. Someone's put it like this. Stealing can be defined as the desire to get as much as possible while giving as little as possible. Now, I found in one of the books I've been reading about the Ten Commandments, I found three headings under this commandment which I found helpful to define what this commandment is about. What does it cover? You might start to feel uncomfortable. First of all, it covers theft by direct stealing. You may not be a bank robber or a housebreaker or a shoplifter, but what about stealing from your employer? Misusing their time or their property? When in the New Testament Paul is writing in Titus, he's giving instructions for slaves, and we can read employees for slaves. Listen to what he says. He says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. How many people call in sick when they're not? That's stealing. Turning up late for work, leaving early, or taking a longer break than is allowed? That's stealing. Taking home pens or notepads or paper clips that don't belong to you, or making phone calls of a nature you're not given permission to make? That's stealing. Oh, everyone else might do it, but that doesn't make it right. It's stealing. And employers too. Employers are stealing if they fail to pay their employees a fair wage for the work that they do. Oh, and what about unregistered software on your PC or laptop? What about unauthorized or unpaid for downloads? Or an unpaid TV license? Or something that really challenged me, what about borrowing something and failing to return it? Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrow but do not repay. And when I read that, I checked my bookcase. And a book went back to Nathan's study quite quickly. And Mike Bish, if you're here, out on the welcome desk, there's an envelope for you. But seriously, a second application of this commandment is theft by deceitful dealing. The Inland Revenue in our country estimate that the amount of income which escapes taxation through evasion, through unrecorded financial transactions and other similar activities amounts to billions of pounds. Just imagine the schools and hospitals and roads and nurses and etc. there could be if everybody paid the tax they are due. Make a huge difference. Ah, but you can adjust things a little. You can conveniently forget about something which should be on the tax return. No, you can't. God sees it, and it's stealing. In Romans 13, we read, give to everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And the Bible does teach we should pay our taxes. We mustn't cheat on them. If we do, we are stealing from the government that God has established for our good. It's a sin. It includes VAT, you know, paying cash and you won't have to pay the VAT. That's stealing. It includes benefit fraud. It includes any way of trying to beat the system, like only working hard when the boss is watching. Like trying to get away with something on the cheap. An incredible 323,295 passengers on the London Underground were caught in 1 year travelling without a ticket. Now, the trouble is, we hear that and we say, oh, but they're minor things. They do matter. We may try and minimise them, but look, these things, the Bible says, are an offence to Almighty God. And how does our Lord Jesus describe himself? He says, I am the truth. And so whenever I act dishonestly, I am dishonouring him. So do we tell the shop assistant when they charge us wrongly for the goods we're buying, or give us too much change? Deceitful dealing, and the third heading is delayed paying. Many think it's smart to pay bills only when the red reminder comes through the door. But if you think about it, that's stealing. To delay is theft. It robs the company of the money that is rightly theirs and of the interest on that money. If they don't ask for their money until the 30th of the month, well, we're not stealing until the 31st. But from the 31st, we're stealing. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding. It's a good habit if you're able to pay bills as soon as they come through the door. When a check bounces, it's stealing. A great danger of credit cards is that people overspend without the ability to repay. That's stealing. Failing to pay a debt when we're able to do so is stealing. I read something which one author wrote, another pastor in the UK, and he wrote this: Christians are supposed to be salt and light, which means that we're not to be sucked down with the world, but to show a far better way and to lift the standards of the world up. On this subject, pay as you would be paid should be the motto of every Christian. I am ashamed when businessmen tell me that they dislike dealing with Christians because they're slow to pay. This is disgraceful. Thousands of small firms go out of business each year for this very reason. Debtors delay payment for so long that the company cannot pay its own bills. Any Christian who is at the beginning of that chain is breaking the eighth commandment and brings dishonor on the name of the Lord. Pay as you would be paid. The world will notice. It's radical. A stealing of any kind, you see, is detestable to God. It doesn't depend on the amount involved. And at the root of stealing is selfishness. The selfish, self-centeredness involved in all sin. So first of all, this commandment is sin-exposing, but it doesn't stop there as we look at it in the context of the whole of Scripture. Because it is also Saviour-exposing. seeking. Come back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Now, no doubt he'd heard about Jesus. Perhaps he was just curious about Jesus, or perhaps he was realizing that theft didn't pay. That stealing and cheating, all that was involved, hadn't satisfied him. Rather, it had isolated him and alienated him. The story implies that. His lack of physical height, which I can understand, meant he couldn't see over the heads of the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbs that tree so he could see Jesus. You can see how keen he was. And I just wonder, because it's in the chapter before in Luke's gospel, whether he'd heard about Jesus telling a story about a tax collector who had cried out to God for mercy and God had had mercy on him. And perhaps Zacchaeus thought, well, look, if Jesus could tell a story like that, then he's the man I want to listen to. And then comes the surprise in the story. Because Zacchaeus discovered that it actually wasn't him who was seeking Jesus, but it was Jesus who was seeking him. It was this man, guilty of breaking the eighth commandment, that Jesus called by name, saying, Zacchaeus, you come down, I'm coming to your house today. Hang on. If Jesus knew his name, if Jesus knew he was hiding in the branches of the sycamore tree, then that must have meant that Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. All his cheating, all his stealing. And that's the point of the story. Jesus called Zacchaeus down from that tree because Zacchaeus, this breaker of the eighth commandment, was the kind of person that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save. A guilty sinner. This is a repeated theme in the Gospel of Luke. Here's a test for you. To whom was the first announcement of the gospel of the birth of Jesus made? To the shepherds, wasn't it? Untrustworthy members of society, known for their thieving as they travelled with their sheep. The angels came to them. What did they say? They said, a Saviour has been born to you, for you. In Luke 5, Jesus called a tax collector to be one of his disciples, Levi. Jesus went to a banquet with many other tax collectors in attendance. And when he's criticized for eating and drinking with such terrible people, he says, look, it's not the healthy who need the doctor, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 15, it was tax collectors and sinners who gathered round him, and the Pharisees criticized him and said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with him. And this is just Jesus says to them, yeah, you're right, absolutely. And it's Luke who tells us that the last person Jesus conversed with as he hung dying on the cross was a criminal hanging on the cross next to him, who we know from the other Gospels was a robber, a thief. And it was that man who, when he asked Jesus for help, that Jesus assured of heaven. Do you see the point? This eighth commandment leads us to the seeking Saviour who came, as our passage says, to seek and to save lost sinners. That is, people like you and me who have to any degree broken this eighth commandment. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. He died in the place of lawbreakers, like me. Now, you know what it's like. When you start to feel uncomfortable, you look for someone worse than yourself. And look what the men of Jericho did in verse 7. They muttered, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But what about them? If their lives were put under the microscope of the eighth commandment, what would be found? in Romans chapter 2, where Paul is exposing the universality of sin, he writes to the smugly self-righteous and he says, "You who preach against stealing, do you steal?" Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's something he continues to do. You see, why is it good for us this morning and in this series to be looking at the law of God, the Ten Commandments? It's actually because through the law, through those Ten Commandments, that is the way Jesus is seeking and saving lost sinners. It's the way in which by the Holy Spirit, he convicts us of our sin, he convicts us of our guilt, he convicts us of our need of a Savior. Because until I'm aware of that, I won't see my need of Jesus. So this eighth commandment points us to Savior seeking, or the seeking Savior. And thirdly, it's designed to be action producing. Look at verse 8. The change in Zacchaeus was remarkable. We mustn't minimize it. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Notice the word repeated twice in those verses, the word Lord. That word tells us what happened. Prior to Jesus seeking him, Zacchaeus had probably seen himself as the Lord of his life. I can do what I want, and therefore, if I take from people, that's fine because it's to my benefit. But having been called by the Lord Jesus, and having received the Lord Jesus into his home and into his life, he had a new Lord. And this new Lord meant that change took place. It meant that he wanted to make restitution to those he'd wronged, to those he'd cheated. We read from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is one of those passages that is teaching us in practice what it means to live with Jesus as Lord. Did you hear what Sam read? "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." I love reading stories of the way the gospel has impacted people's lives in the past. And I came across the story of a preacher. He was an Irish evangelist called W.P. Nicholson. And he worked in Belfast at the time when Belfast was a great shipbuilding port. And the story's told that when the hooter sounded for the end of the working day in the shipyard, the men in the shipyards would put down their tools, they'd march as a group through the streets to the building where W.P. Nicholson was preaching the gospel. And he was a no-holds-barred preacher. He preached powerfully, he spread conviction, and he insisted on repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus as the only Saviour. And many of these men, and they'd have been rough men, they accepted Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And one of the things they started to do was to take back to their employers all the things they'd been pinching and taking home. And this happened so much that the authorities made a public announcement. This is what it said. "Will those men attending the meetings of Mr. W.P. Nicholson please stop returning stolen goods. We have nowhere to store them." Now imagine the unbelievable volume of stolen property there'd be if they had to make an announcement like that. But you see, receiving Jesus as our Savior, receiving him as our Lord, it has practical consequences. It was true for Zacchaeus. It was true for those shipyard workers. And we can expect it to be true for us. So let me ask you, as through his law, our Lord Jesus shines his spotlight into our lives, are there things that you and I need to put right. You see, there might be someone here and you've got to make restitution in some way. Perhaps God's calling some of us to restore something we have unjustly obtained from others. Whenever the Lord Jesus enters our lives by his Holy Spirit, he will always touch our pockets. He will always loosen our hold and our possessions. And not only does he tell us not to steal, but did you notice what was said in Ephesians 4? We should also be those who then are seeking to give. So it's a whole shift. He calls us to not be a selfish grabber, but rather a generous giver. Why? Well, because that's what he's like. He's the one who has given completely generously to us, more generously than anyone else. He gave up his life for us to set us free from the guilt that our sins bring us. And he calls us to use all that he has given to us for his glory. And that includes giving to him and to his work. If you do a word search in the Bible about stealing and robbing and thieving, you come to Malachi chapter 3. Listen to these words written to God's people. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. I wonder if we realize that if we do not give to the Lord's work, we're stealing from God. Now, our giving does not and cannot buy our salvation. Salvation is a free gift. But once we've received salvation, once we've received Christ as Lord, he calls us to give to him from what he's given to us. The story is told of two old ladies who had a new pastor in their church. And the first week he preached against drinking. And they came up to him after the service and said, "That's preaching, Pastor." The second week he spoke about running around with women. And they came up to him after and encouraged him, "That's preaching, Preacher." The third week he preached against smoking. And after the message they told him, "That's preaching, Pastor." The fourth week he preached about giving. And the two women cornered him and complained, "Now you've stopped preaching and you've taken to meddling." But the salvation Jesus died on the cross to bring us, it will touch our wallets, our possessions, our time. It reorientates our thinking, not to say, "This is mine," but rather than say, "This has been entrusted by the Lord to me. How does he want me to use it?" Zacchaeus was a very little man. No, he wasn't. He was a very rich man. A cheater thief was he. The eighth commandment, "You shall not steal," his guilt all men could see. But one day Jesus called to him, a new man Zac became. He said, "Lord, my wealth is yours. To give is now my aim." One of the striking things about this story is the very personal call to Zacchaeus. And as we end, can I ask you, what is the Lord Jesus speaking to you about this morning? Perhaps you're not yet a Christian. But perhaps even through today and the other commandments as we've been looking at them, perhaps it's as though a searchlight is focusing in on you and you're aware that actually things you thought were normal, well, everyone does it, are actually things that prove that you're a sinner. That you're someone like the rest of us who deserves eternal punishment from God because of your breaking of his law. Well, actually, that's part of the way that Jesus seeks and saves sinners today. He shows us our sin. Why? Well, so that then we might understand how much we need him as our Saviour. And as the one who died on the cross, he is the only Saviour of lawbreakers. And perhaps even today, the Lord Jesus is saying to you personally, come down. Humble yourself. Admit you're a sinner. And say, Lord Jesus, please save me and become my Lord. I have to tell you, if you do that, your life will change. I can't tell you exactly how, but it will change. And it will change the way you view your possessions. Dramatically. And what about those of us who already call Jesus Lord? Well, are we continuing to expect radical change? The temptation to steal comes all the time. In many ways. But the call of our Saviour who gave his life on the cross for us is that we should be givers like him. Not takers, but givers for his glory and for the good of others. I love the fact that when Jesus called Zacchaeus, he didn't kind of say, well, I might come later. Did you notice what we're told? We're told he came at once and he welcomed him gladly. And if our Lord Jesus is calling us to action this morning, can I urge you not to delay? And even though it may be a hard thing he's calling you to do, do it gladly. A changed verse. Zacchaeus was a very rich man. A cheater thief was he. The story of his change of heart is here for all to see. Through it, the Saviour calls to us. He knows us each by name. Will we say, Lord, I welcome you. My life can't stay the same. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we probably all need to admit that we're very good at pointing the finger at others and seeing their sin, seeing their law breaking. But we ask afresh this morning that you would search our hearts, that you would expose to us personally our sin, the ways in which we have or are breaking this eighth commandment. That admitting it, we might confess it and receive the salvation and forgiveness that only Jesus can give. Father, if this morning you're calling us to radical change, if there are ways in which we need to act promptly and gladly in obedience to Jesus as Lord, please give us the enabling power of your Spirit to do this. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is the Saviour of sinners. We thank you that he came into the world to seek and to save those who are lost. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen.